I rarely speak, and I didn't expect this kind of crowd to show up. I'm a little nervous, but turn with me to John chapter 3. I'll be reading from verses 1 to 10. John chapter 3. Lord willing, I would like to share a few thoughts regarding being born again. We see this phrase, born again, in Jesus Christ's conversation with Nicodemus. This is a very familiar passage that you might have learned in Sunday school. One of the reasons why I looked into this passage was a few weeks ago I had a conversation with Brother David Cooper, and he was telling me about this born again thing that he found in this passage, and I'm thinking to myself, I haven't done any serious study on this born again. So I decided to study, and I thought I'll share with you a few of the thoughts that the Lord has laid on my heart. John chapter 3, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these things, do these signs that you do unless God is with him. Jesus answered and said to him, most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said to him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I say to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but cannot tell where it comes from and where it goes. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus answered and said to him, how can these things be? Verse 10, Jesus answered and said to him, are you the teacher of Israel and do not know these things? Let's look to the Lord in prayer. O God, our Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for Thy Son, Lord Jesus Christ, and we ask that Thou would bless this time and pray that Thou would help me to communicate Thy word clearly and correctly, and pray that Thou would speak to the hearts of the listeners, and we'll have a renewed appreciation of what Thou hast done through Lord Jesus in our lives, through the work of the Holy Spirit. Pray that Thou would bless this time. And we remember, pray for those who are unbelievers, pray that the Holy Spirit would work in their hearts as well. We ask this in the name of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
This chapter begins by introducing a man named Nicodemus. Verse 1, it says, there was a man of Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. First thing that we learned about Nicodemus is that he was a Pharisee. Pharisees were the legalistic group of Jews. They followed strict adherence to external traditions, rules, rituals, and oral law on top of Mosaic law. If you remember in Matthew chapter 15, Pharisees along with scribes accused Jesus Christ's disciples for transgressing the traditions of elders by not washing their hands when they ate bread. Christ called them hypocrites and blamed them of making the commandment of God of no effect by their tradition. Secondly, we see Nicodemus was a ruler of Jews. He was a member of Sanhedrin, the Jewish governing council. Thirdly, in verse 10, we see he was a teacher of Israel. He must have been an Old Testament scholar and a well-known teacher. Verse 2, this man came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him. Here we see Nicodemus came to see Jesus by night. This passage does not explain why he came at night to see Jesus Christ. Most likely, he didn't want others to see him, talk to Jesus Christ, and needed private time with him. Holy Spirit specifically notes here, and also in John chapter 7, verse 50, that Nicodemus came to see Jesus at night under the cover of darkness and not publicly during the daytime. He addresses Jesus Christ as Rabbi or teacher with respect, even though he knew Jesus Christ did not have any formal rabbinic teaching. In John chapter 7, verses 14 and 15, we read, "Now about the middle of the feast, Jesus went up into the temple and taught. And the Jews marveled, saying, 'How does this man know letters, having never studied?'" Jews were marveled at Jesus Christ's teaching that was uniquely different from other rabbis, displaying the depth of the knowledge of Old Testament. Notably did Nicodemus acknowledge Jesus Christ as Rabbi, but also as the one who came from God. The signs Jesus Christ performed was convincing to Nicodemus to recognize God was with Jesus Christ. John chapter 2, verse 23, we read, "Now when he," or Jesus Christ, "was in Jerusalem at the Passover during the feast, many believed in his name when they saw the signs which he did." Probably Nicodemus saw the signs Jesus Christ did while he was in Jerusalem. The signs Jesus Christ did was uniquely different from other signs that he might have witnessed in his lifetime. Here Nicodemus makes a statement, "No one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him." He knew the signs that Jesus Christ did was supernatural and God was with him. What fascinated me was Jesus Christ's reply in verse 3. Jesus answered and said to him, "Most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Jesus Christ did not reply to the comment that Nicodemus made in previous verses by saying, "Yes, I came from God. Yes, I am the Son of God. God is with me," and so on. He directly introduced the topic of born again. John chapter 2, verse 25, we read, "He," or Jesus Christ, "knew what was in man." Jesus Christ can read a man's heart, his true need, and his true need. He directly addressed what might have burdened Nicodemus, an influential person, to come and see him by night. Here, Jesus Christ makes a solemn statement of utmost importance. "Most assuredly," or "truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." To see the kingdom of God, or to be part of it, one has to be born again, or born from above, or born anew. Apparently, Nicodemus didn't have this born-again experience, and Jesus Christ is trying to convince him that he needs to be born again to see the kingdom of God. These words of Jesus Christ applies to us as well. "Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." I would like to read a few verses that talk about the kingdom of God. Romans chapter 14, verse 17, we read, "For the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit." Kingdom of God is not about satisfying our fleshly needs like eating and drinking. It is spiritual. It is the domain of God where righteousness, peace, and joy in Holy Spirit reigns. During Jesus Christ's trial before Pilate, in John chapter 18, verse 36, Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would fight so that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now my kingdom is not from here." Here we see the kingdom of God is not earthly, not of this world, but heavenly. It is a spiritual kingdom where Christ is the center. Psalm 103, verse 19, we read, "The Lord has established His throne in heaven, and His kingdom rules over all." Jurisdiction of the kingdom of God is over all creation. One day, all things will be put under Christ. Matthew chapter 23, verse 34, we read, "Then the king will say to those on his right hand, 'Come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world.'" Here we see the kingdom of God is something that was prepared for the righteous ones from the foundation of the world. In this context, the righteous ones are the ones who demonstrated their faith in Christ by helping Jewish people in need during tribulation. Kingdom of God will be outwardly manifested in the earth during the millennial reign. Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 verse 50 says, "Now this I say, brethren, that the flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does corruption inherit incorruption." Here we see natural man, descendants of Adam, with their corrupt earthly bodies, cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Only those who are born again will receive bodies that are suited to enter into the kingdom of God. Back to John chapter 3, verse 3, Jesus answered and said to him, "Most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." It is absolutely necessary that one be born again or born from above if he or she needs to see the kingdom of God. Verse 4, Nicodemus said to him, "How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born?" Nicodemus did not understand that Jesus Christ was talking about a spiritual or supernatural birth. He thought logically in a worldly point of view and couldn't understand how a grown-up man can enter into his mother's womb a second time and be born. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14, we read, "But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can they know them because they are spiritually discerned." An unregenerate, natural person cannot understand the spiritual things. Only the ones who are empowered by the Holy Spirit can understand the spiritual things. When Jesus Christ said, "born again," Nicodemus might have focused on the second word, "again." Being born again a second time into this world does not make our corrupt, fallen nature any better. We have to be born from above. When Jesus Christ said, "one must be born again," he meant a new birth, a supernatural birth, or a spiritual birth. John chapter 1, verses 12 to 13, we read, "But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become the children of God, to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God." When we repent and confess our sins, come to God as sinner, and receive Jesus Christ, we become the children of God. At the same moment, a new birth happens. This new birth is of God. It is not of blood. Just because I was born to my dad and mom, who are believers, I do not receive this new birth. Blood relationship to my dad and mom does not make me a born-again person. The new birth is not of the will of flesh. By our own efforts, we cannot be born again. And this new birth is not of the will of man. An unregenerate person has no interest to the things of God. I remember when I grew up, I heard gospel many times from my dad and at church. It was just intellectual knowledge facts at that point. Just because my dad and mom wanted to be a born-again person did not make me a born-again person. But one night, when I heard the gospel from my uncle, Something happened in my heart like never before. I realized I'm a sinner and I'm on my way to hell. The fear of going to hell gripped me. I couldn't just go over the thought that I will be in hell all eternity, consciously suffering if I die without Christ. Holy Spirit used the words that were spoken that night, such as, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." I realized how much God and Jesus Christ and his Son Jesus Christ loves me, and that Jesus Christ died in my place so that I do not end up in hell.
Amen.
That night, I confessed my sins, asked for forgiveness, and asked Christ Jesus to come into my heart. It was not my will that made a change of heart toward God. It is 100% the work of God. The Holy Spirit softened my heart, convicted me, and worked on the words that were spoken. The new birth of God happens during conversion when we believe in Christ Jesus for salvation. Verses 5 through 7. Jesus answered, "Most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of flesh is flesh, and that which is born of spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I say to you, you must be born again." Here Jesus Christ again reiterates that it is absolutely necessary that one be born again. If you want to see the kingdom of God and be part of it, you have to be born again. It is not an option. Natural birth into this world does not qualify one to enter into the kingdom of God. Unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. Jesus Christ explains in these verses how this new birth happens. The means by which this new birth happens is by water and the Spirit. If the birth happens by flesh, other than the agencies of water or the Spirit, it is not a genuine new birth. Prerequisite to enter into the kingdom of God is birth by water and the Spirit. Unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. A new birth by water and the Spirit is absolutely necessary. We cannot pay our way into the kingdom of God. This raises a question. What is water mentioned in the phrase born of water means? I believe Jesus Christ is not referring to water baptism in these verses. We cannot receive new life by water baptism. Romans chapter 6 verse 4 we read, "Therefore we were buried with him through baptism into death." Water baptism signifies burial of our old man, not a new birth. I believe the water mentioned here is the Word of God. It is the Word of God and the Spirit of God that gives us a new birth. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23, we read, "Having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible, through the Word of God, which lives and abides forever." Here we see the means by which we are born again is through the Word of God. When Jesus Christ used the terms born again, born of water and the Spirit, he probably might have had Old Testament scriptures in mind. Nicodemus was a teacher of Old Testament scriptures, but did not understand the spiritual meaning of these words. That's why in verse 10, Jesus Christ asks him, "Are you the teacher of Israel and do not know these things?" I would like to read few passages that Jesus Christ might have had in mind when he talked to Nicodemus. These passages explain nicely what born again, born of water, and the Spirit means. Please turn to Ezekiel chapter 7. Ezekiel chapter 37. Ezekiel was a priest among the Jewish exiles from Babylon, exiles that were taken to Babylon from Judah, Lord is giving Ezekiel a vision of Valley of Dry Bones. The context here is future restoration, regeneration, and renewing of the whole house of Israel. Verses 1 and 2, the hand of the Lord came upon me and brought me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley, and it was full of bones. Then he caused me to pass by them all around, and behold, there were many in the open valley, and indeed they were dry. Lord shows prophet Ezekiel a vision. He has been brought to a valley full of bones. After passing all around the valley, he notices there was a lot of bones, and the bones were very dry. Verse 11 of this chapter gives an explanation of what these dry bones signify. Then he said to me, "Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel." These bones showed the condition of the nation of Israel. They were dead spiritually. Those bones were dry. There was no trace of divine life. Our spiritual condition before we were saved was no different. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1, we read, "We were dead in trespasses and sins." Ephesians chapter 4, verse 18, "We were alienated from the life of God. There was not even an ounce of God's life in us. From outside, we looked alive physically, but inside we were dead in trespasses and sins." Then in verse 3, "And he said to me, 'Son of man, can these bones live?' So I answered, 'O Lord, you know.'" Ezekiel knew there was no way these dead, dry bones could live. It was a hopeless situation. He said, "Only Lord God knows whether these bones could live or not." Our situation before we got saved was no different. As we read in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 12, that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. There is no way we could come to life from our dead condition by our own efforts. We were completely incapable of bringing ourselves from dead condition to life by our own efforts. We were without Christ and without God, away from anything that could shed a hope of life. Verses 4 and 6, 4 through 6 we read, "And again he said to me, 'Prophesy to these bones and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, surely I will cause breath to enter into you and you shall live. I will put sinews on you and bring flesh upon you, cover you with skin, and breathe and put breath in you, and you shall live. Then you shall know that I am the Lord.'" Here, Lord is explaining to Ezekiel how these dry bones will live, or in other words, how the nation of Israel will be brought to life from their spiritual deadness. First thing that needs to happen is they need to hear the word of the Lord. The Lord needs to work to bring these dead bones to life. Notice the phrase, "I will repeat it multiple times here." These verses talk about what the Lord will do in bringing nation of Israel to life. Once the nation of Israel is brought to life, the very same moment they will realize that He is Lord, their Messiah. In comparison, it is the same thing that was done to our dead soul. Before we were saved, we were dead spiritually. He made us alive by His word and the Spirit. Psalm 119 verse 50, we read, "For your word has given me life." First, Lord made us hear the life-giving words. Then His Holy Spirit acted upon the words which we heard, convicting us of sins, and revealed Christ to us. John chapter 17, verse 3, we read, "And this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent." We possess eternal life by knowing God and Jesus Christ. Nation of Israel in future will realize He is Lord when they are brought to life. Similarly, when we were brought to life, we realized that He is the true God and Jesus Christ is the one God has sent. Then verses 7 and 8. "So I prophesied as I was commanded. And as I prophesied, there was a noise, and suddenly a rattling, and the bones came together, bone to bone. Indeed, as I looked, the sinews and the flesh came upon, and the skin covered them over, but there was no breath in them." Prophet Ezekiel prophesied to these dry bones as the Lord commanded. All of a sudden, these bones came together, the sinews, flesh, and the skin. We see the explanation of this in verse 12. "Therefore, prophesy and say to them, thus says the Lord God, behold, O my people, I will open your graves and cause you to come up from your graves and bring you into the land of Israel." Not only were they brought into the land after the Babylonian captivity, they were brought into the land of Israel from all the other heathen Gentile nations. In 1948, the nation of Israel was formed. It wasn't a random occurrence. As stated in the prophecy, bones, sinews, flesh, and skin came together, but there is no breath in them. There is no spiritual life. In future, Lord is going to give them life through His Holy Spirit. They will receive Christ as their Messiah. We see that in verse 14. "I will put my spirit in you, and you shall live. And I will place you in your own land. Then you shall know that I, the Lord, have spoken it and performed it, says the Lord." Lord has given us life the similar way, through His Holy Spirit. Words of Jesus in John chapter 6, verse 63, "It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words I speak to you are spirit, and they are life." Born of the Spirit has to do with life imparted by the Holy Spirit. It is the work of the Holy Spirit that gives life to a spiritually dead person. We get renewed, regenerated heart and mind. When we become born again, there is a new birth that happens in us. This new birth is not our old life improved. There is something called regeneration that happens in us at the time of new birth. It gives us a new character and a nature that is totally different. That which is heavenly, with desires to walk according to that which pleases the Lord. This regeneration is the work of the Holy Spirit. In the context of national regeneration of Israel, in Ezekiel chapter 36, verses 26 to 29, we read, "I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. I will take the heart of stone out of your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes. And you will keep my commandments and do them. Then you shall dwell in the land that I gave to your fathers, and you shall be my people, and I will be your God. I will deliver you from all your uncleanness." It is the same thing that happened to us during our conversion. Regeneration is fully the work of God. Notice the phrase, "I will," that occurred multiple times here. It talks about what Lord will do. He replaced the heart of stone, unregenerate, stubborn heart with a heart of flesh that is willing to yield to His words, with new desires to follow Him. He puts His Spirit in us in order to give us the ability to walk in His commandments. Back to John chapter 3, verse 5. Jesus answered, "Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God." Earlier I made a statement that water mentioned here is the Word of God. I wanted to read a few verses that refer to water as the Word of God. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 25 and 26. "Just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her, that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word." And Hebrews chapter 10, verse 22. "Let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water." And in John chapter 13, verse 10, Jesus said to him, or Peter, "He who is bathed needs only to wash his feet, but is completely clean, and you are clean, but not all of you." From these verses, we see during rebirth, there is a bath or cleansing that will happen from the guilt of sin because of the shed blood of Christ. Then there is a daily cleansing that is needed in our lives as our feet get muddied by sin, as God's word convicts us. Either way, I believe water is the Word of God that cleanses us. John, speaking of Christ, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us." In the context of nation of Israel, restoration and regeneration, in Ezekiel chapter 37, verse 23, words of the Lord, "I will deliver them from all their dwelling places in which they have sinned, and will cleanse them." When God renews, not only there is a deliverance, but also a cleansing. Lord will clean them from all the defilement caused by sins and worshiping idols. As I conclude the message, let me ask you a question. Are you born again? Or born from above? Have you been born of water and the Spirit? If not, you cannot see or enter the kingdom of God. You will end up in hell, the lake of fire. You cannot be born again by your own effort, by doing good works, going to church, or by being born into a Christian family. Born again or regeneration is 100% the work of God. But as a sinner, all we could do is plead for mercy, as the tax collector did in Luke chapter 18, verse 13. "God, be merciful to me, a sinner." If you read the rest of the conversation of Jesus Christ with Nicodemus, you will notice Jesus Christ keeps reiterating that one should believe in Jesus Christ. If you do not believe in Jesus Christ, you will perish. Verse 15 of John chapter 3, we read, "Whoever believes in Him," or Christ, "should not perish, but have eternal life." And verse 16, "Whoever believes in Him," or Christ, "should not perish, but have everlasting life." And also in verse 18, "He who believes in Him," or Christ, "is not condemned." If you're an unbeliever, go to Christ and plead for mercy. He will give you life. Us who are believers, how much more we should thank and praise God for making us a born-again person. Let's pray. O God, our Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for Thy Son, Lord Jesus Christ. Father, we are so thankful that He died in our place. And Father, there are millions of people here in this world, but thank You that You are willing to work in our hearts through thy Holy Spirit, convicting us of our sins, and to show us that Lord Jesus is the Son of God, and He died in our place. O Father, thank You for opening our eyes, and for the regenerating work of Thy Holy Spirit in us, and for the Word of God that became flesh, and the Spirit that gave us life. Father, we thank Thee for this born-again experience, the life from above. Father, one day we will be with You. Father, we thank You for that glorious hope. Father, we remember, if there are any unbelievers listening to this message, pray that Thou would work in their hearts. Pray that Thy Holy Spirit will work in their hearts, and pray that they would yield their hearts to the gospel message. Father, be with us as we depart. Keep us safe under Thy wings. We ask this in the name of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.